Okay, so there's Pei Dalim and Beis. We're still trying to work through the idea of Shechusayu Kavadina, right? That the Beis in the Chutz La'aretz is somehow able to be done. Anything, basically, anything that requires Elohim, right? Anything required is a Beis Din of Smumchim and Smuchim. Okay, so we took a little detour into Kiddush HaChodesh, which was good. And we were taking up your guys' approach that's really Shlichos. Okay, and that's a simple Pshat Gemara. It's really Shlichos. And I'm going to go a little bit differently, but the ideas that we developed from really taking that seriously, the idea of Shlichos seriously, I think is going to help us for this next approach. So I think that's also like a nice methodology point to make here, is like a lot of times what you see like in a Reb Chaim, more than I think the other ones, but like very often Reb Chaim will present an idea. And then, like his first, it's a lot of Reb Chaim's have the structure where there is obviously a question, a problem, and then he presents one approach, one problem, and one approach to solving the problem. And then he knocks it off and shows why it's wrong, and then he presents a different solution. You know, sometimes it happens in the last paragraph where he just like gives a whole new approach in a certain sense. You know, it looks like a new approach, but in those situations, basically what he's almost, I think, always doing is there's ideas, there's like a framework or a yesod that's set up in the first approach that he's using for the second approach. So even if the second approach really is different than the first one, but like through following the proper methodology, the proper derech of thinking, we're able to uncover like a yesod in the area. And even if like that first approach doesn't pan out for a particular problem, but you're able to take those yesodos, those fundamental ideas that you've uncovered in that approach in order to give the final answer, okay? So over here, for example, like this, is we were trying to understand why Niske Shor, Niske Adam, why even though it requires Elohim and you really need a Beis Din Smuchim, so how the Gemara says Shlichusayu Kavdinan? How exactly does that work, right? So we said, let's just take it literally. That's what you guys are saying. Let's say it really means Shlichus, that basically it really is the Beis Din of Eretz Yisrael doing it, and you're just their Shluchim, right? We said, the fact that there's no particular Minoy, we said, you don't need that if you say, like, who says you need that in Shlichus? So long as you know the overall general will of the person, you can step into their... it's like they have a ratzon for you to do it for them. And then therefore you could take up be their shliach to do what they want. And we gave the example of Zachalam Shalbifanov. According to those who shown him, I think Ramban is one of them, who learns that like it's really coming Bitoras Shlich Ramban's no, it's the Ran. Whatever. It's Machlokes, right? Who learned that Zacham Shel Befanav is you could just be Mizaki for somebody even though he's not there. And it works through Mitar Shlichus, right? It works through the system of Shlichus. Because you don't need a Mino, you know it's what they want, and then you can become their Shlich for them as long as it's close for them, not a Chol. Okay. So we said we got out of that problem. We said there's the more difficult problem is Bisman Hazeh, you don't have any actual Beis Din. Who's the Mishalayah, who said sending you on these things. So how does that work? And clearly we still do this stuff nowadays, right? And the Meiri says it's from the original, the Beis Din Rishonim, which set the whole thing up. So how does that work? So Dov brought in a really nice comparison to Kiddush HaChodesh, which basically it's the same phenomenon. So the Kiddush HaChodesh needs Sanhedrin, right? It needs Sanhedrin or a Beis Din that's Smuchim appointed by Sanhedrin to make Kiddush HaChodesh. And the question is, how do you do it nowadays? Okay, so there you actually could have said the simpler answer than what the Rambam ends up saying. Rambam ends up saying something that helps us out. But there you could have said an answer which wouldn't have worked for here, is that the last Sanhedrin, maybe it was Hillel, right? I looked into a little bit. Hillel apparently was like the third Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda's grandson's grandson. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi's grandson was also Rabbi Yehuda, and his grandson was also Rabbi Yehuda, and his son was Hillel. Seems like that was like the end of the Nesias, the end of the Beis Din. Probably based on the Rambam, it's the time of Abayin Rava. So you could say is that last Sanhedrin set up when you go to the cheshbon, when you go to the calculations, it was set up in a way. Apparently, it was a time of heavy persecution. You weren't even allowed to meet in order to mekadesh the chodesh, even al pi cheshbon. It's not clear. I'm just looking. It's not clear exactly like when it went from whatever. I don't get into it. Okay. So that Beis Din, the simplest way you could say is that Beis Din was mekadesh, set up the calendar, set up the luach, created that, you know, the luach that we have, set it up, and it was mekadesh every single Rosh Chodesh, every single holiday from that point going forward. And you can just mekadesh the future because you're doing it up b'cheshbon, right? That's one way. And that there's a halacha mashmi Sinai that it transfers from Sanhedrin, up here to when you don't have Sanhedrin, up b'cheshbon. We're saying it's that last, when you don't have Sanhedrin anymore, you do it up your cheshbon, but that cheshbon is created. It doesn't mean like every single month. It means that, you know, the Beis Din is able to do it based upon the cheshbon, using according to the future. Because once it's based on cheshbon, you don't really need, it doesn't have to be in that particular month anymore. Apiriya, it's every new month, is like a new appearance of the moon. You can't be Mekadesh, you know, next month based upon seeing this month's moon. But once you're doing basic upon calculations, right away, calculations make the future real in the present because it's so predictable. So you can basically be tofes, you can grab hold of future months and future holidays in the present and be mekadesh them because you're using a different method, not empirical observation, but calculations. Calculations can predict the future with good enough accuracy that you can rely on, and that makes future Rosh Chodeshim a reality in front of the Beis Din, they can mekadesh it. That's what you could have said. That method wouldn't work for us because there's nothing like that here. We need a real shlichus, if you're going to assume that, in order to set up, you know, the dine niske nizikin, which require Elohim. So it's hard to see. There's no correlate of cheshbon for our sigya. Okay. But if you say something different, the approach that we wanted to take, then the Rambam in Kishah Chodesh, so the Rambam Kishah Chodesh doesn't learn that way, right? He doesn't learn that the original Beis Din is Mekadesh all the months for all eternity, because he has this statement that if all Klai Yisrael were to be gone, then it wouldn't, the whole thing wouldn't exist. Okay, well, that's the problem, right? He says if they were gone for Eretz Yisrael, but he says there's a Haftacha that the nation's never going to be destroyed. Right, and he brought in like the whole nation as a whole, right? So why did he do that, right? I want to explain why he did that. So we want everybody, and then basically he said if all of the basic Klai Yisrael is gone, or right, and there's no Beis Din Eretz Yisrael and Klai Yisrael is not Eretz Yisrael, and kind of like was like equivocal. He kind of said both of those things. Because his haftacha was for the nation as a whole, but then he seemed to be requiring a Beis Din Eretz Yisrael. He said then the whole thing really wouldn't work. Right. So we wanted to say, I'm not sure if we said this super clearly, but is that there is that once, so long as Klai Yisrael exists, then the idea of Klai Yisrael, and I don't think the Rambam is saying, that's fair, the Rambam is not saying, is that so long as Klai Yisrael always exists. So Klai Yisrael as a nation has a Sanhedrin. We have a Beis Din, right? Whether it's a Sanhedrin, I would think it's even a Sanhedrin, you could argue. And just like I was thinking, instead of using the president or the Senate for when they die or whatever, removed, then there's an open seat. Just the Supreme Court in America is really the best example. Is the Supreme Court is nine people, right? Right now. Okay, and if somebody dies, you have an open seat, but you don't say that the court is only has only eight seats. You gotta say the court has nine seats, and there's just an open seat that has to be filled, right? So there is this concept of having an institution of a court where the seats are not filled because you don't have anybody qualified, nobody's been appointed yet. So I would say a similar thing is by Klai Yisrael, we have a Sanhedrin. Sanhedrin is 20 is 71 seats. They're just not filled right now because we have nobody who's qualified, nobody's smuchim to appoint and to fill that position. But Klai Yisrael has a Sanhedrin that's like part of who we are. It's just unfilled in this certain sense. Okay. So Balua Sanhedrin means in this context is that not that the institution of Sanhedrin is batal, but like the positions are not filled. There's no actual Sanhedrin. Because it's just empty. The seats are all empty. We don't have anybody to fill them. But we say, but the institutions continues to exist, even though the positions are not being filled. And that's the Rambam. So long as there is a Jewish people, okay, what do you mean, then there's always going to be a court, a Sanhedrin for the Jewish people. That's part of, we have a Sanhedrin, we have a court. It's just, we don't always have it being filled. And it's, and Klai Yisrael is, see, that's I think the Rambam is also, is even if we're not in Eretz Yisrael, okay, but we still, that's our land. It's still Eretz Yisrael. We're always coming back to Eretz Yisrael. The Jewish people always have, that's always our land, and we always have a court of Eretz Yisrael. There's the Basin of Eretz Yisrael, and there's, this is the, our country, and this is our court. And even if we're not, we don't happen to be in our country right now, we don't happen to have the position filled, the institution of the court exists, and Eretz Yisrael still exists. It's still our land. It's just, we're not there right now, right? The only way that that would go away is if Klai Yisrael as a nation didn't exist. Then you would say this is not the, there's no such thing as the Jewish land, there's no such thing as the Jewish court once the nation ceased to exist. But that's the Rambam. There's Havtacha that Klai Yisrael will exist forever. Once Klai Yisrael exists forever, then Eretz Yisrael is the country of the Jewish people, exists forever. It's our Yerusha forever. The only way to get rid of that is if Klai Yisrael, Chas v'Shalom, went away. But we know through Havtacha that Klai Yisrael is not going to go away. So Eretz Yisrael is always our nation, and Eretz Yisrael always has a Sanhedrin, always has a base in the Gadol of Eretz Yisrael. Okay? Now you don't have particular people. It's true, not particular people. But Al Pi Cheshbon, basically, the other, this is the alternative way of understanding it, is that they set it up, the final Sanhedrin or whatever, set it up that when Sanhedrin goes away, the Halacha Moshe Sinai kicks in, that you do Al Pi Cheshbon. What does that mean, Al Pi Cheshbon? It doesn't mean just use calculations and but then do the same thing, be Mekadesh it the same way you always were, but doing based on calculations. It's a totally new concept. It's basically where you set up that the based upon this Cheshbon, you set up that this that the Sanhedrin is auto Mekadesh, that they're always Mekadesh automatically. So you lose the particular members of Sanhedrin, but you don't lose the institution of the Beis Din HaGadol and Eretz Yisrael. And that's that Beis Din, that institution is set up automatically to do this, to Mekadesh the month, every single month. And you don't, since it's set up automatically, you don't need voting members. You don't have to have three members vote and decide, okay, there's a wish of Mekadesh Al Pi Cheshbon. You could set it up that it automatically works. Because the institution of Beis Din still exists, Eretz Yisrael still exists, Klai Yisrael will always exist. And that's how the Halacha Moshe Sinai operates Al Pi Cheshbon. That you can automatically set it up once the Sanhedrin is batal, that the institution of Sanhedrin, the Beis Din HaGadol, is Mekadesh every single month. With that, you can also say Arsiga of Shlichos, that they set up that there's a Shlichos to all Beis Dins and Chutz La'aretz, that they have the right to be Dan, Niske Adam, Niske Shor, whatever it is that requires Elohim. It's an automatic Shlichos from this Beis Din HaGadol and Eretz Yisrael. There's no particular members of this Beis Din, and it's the same point. The institution exists, and their Shlichos, according to this way, I'm going to propose an alternative way in a second, building upon this, but their shlichus continues to exist, and therefore we can always avail ourselves of that shlichus that's always there, and just be step on and do it properly, step into that role, and be done. Nisgiad and Niskeshor, all these different things. Yeah, go ahead. There's a question. So it's just reading the Rambam and Sefer Mitzvos. He says, "Ilu hancha hinachnu l'mashal shebnei Yisrael yadim Eretz Yisrael, that the people of Eretz Yisrael would be removed from Eretz Yisrael." Chalila lekel me'asos, God forbid that would happen. The Klai Yisrael will never be completely destroyed, right? And v'lo yesham Beis Din, v'lo yebuchutzlar Beis Din shnez Eretz Yisrael, harei cheshbonin zeh lo hayimol anekal b'shemol, right? So, because our cheshbon is just a gilim also, right? So, the way I'm interpreting that is that it doesn't literally mean that, like, there's a haftacha that there's always going to be Jews in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, it means, because that's not what he doesn't quote that. First of all, there's no haftacha I'm aware of in the Torah like that. Where does ever say that? Kapach points to a haftacha by Yirmiyah that Klai Yisrael will be ultimately destroyed, and the Rambam himself doesn't say it. Rambam just says, Chalila kem es ozel sefi shekvar eftiach shel yim chavol yishtarish eshir so umel gamri. Right? So, So what I'm saying that means is, and look, and it could be there's other, I'm either not interpreting those psukim that Kappa went to somehow, or there's other psukim I was referring to, and there is a tach like that. But the way I'm trying to interpret it, assuming that fact, is that it means that Klai Yisrael as a nation never goes away, right? And that even though we're in Gullus, that's still our homeland, that's still Eretz Yisrael. If, like, you would never say, you know, the Babylonians, once they cease being a nation, there's no such thing as Babel anymore. Now, I know it's Iraq or whatever it is. Who knows what it is, right? Or wherever they were. So it's like once the nation ceases, that the homeland is gone. But Eretz Yisrael is always going to be, basically, we're always Jews in exile. Our homeland is always Eretz Yisrael. We're always just living in exile. But that's always the homeland of the Jews. And it's retains its status, even if there are no people there. And the same way as Eretz Yisrael retains its status as a homeland of Jews, even if there's nobody living there, the Beis Din of Eretz Yisrael retains its status, even though there's no members on the court. Now, the only way to stop that, the only way that those institutions would go away, you say, well, these institutions exist for all eternity, even, you know, why should that be? The Supreme Court of America exists for all eternity, even though there's nobody in the Supreme Court. It's only so long as you have a nation which has these laws that this is our homeland, Eretz Yisrael, we're not going to ever switch it for anywhere else, and we have a mitzvah to appoint a court. So then you say that we're a nation, we still exist, there's just a temporary, albeit a couple thousand years, inability to appoint members to this court or to go back to Eretz Yisrael. That's a little bit, that's been resolved kind of now, but to appoint members to the court, we don't smooch him, but still what? The institution still exists. So that's why I'm saying the Rambam is bringing in the Haftacha to Klal Yisrael as a whole, because that's what will destroy the institution. If the nation goes away, then, you know, America goes away, there's no more Supreme Court. Then the Supreme Court's not empty. It's not, you don't have 9 seats that are unfilled. You just don't have the institution once the nation is batal, you know, and every nation will be batal except for Klal Yisrael. So no other nation's court is going to exist for all eternity, but our court exists forever because Klal Yisrael exists forever. And that's always the future of Klal Yisrael as the Beis Din. And Eretz Yisrael is our homeland. So like those things continue to exist and retain their halakhic identities, even though they don't have a particular people filling in that role. You know, that's how I'm interpreting it. But it could be the Rambam saying that there really has always been Jews in Eretz Yisrael, based in Eretz Yisrael, Mikayash, the Chodesh. I just don't know if that's historically true. And it's like, to some degree, then you're saying that, like, it's really, if somehow all Jews were removed from Eretz Yisrael for 2 months, then the whole, everything falls apart. You know, you don't have Kiddush HaChodesh anymore. You don't have, Pesach. It's like, is he really saying that? And that's never happened. And we could be so sure about that. There's a promise that that's never happened. And where is that promise? It's hard to believe. Is it a promise? It's always going to be a Beis Din Eretz Yisrael. Hard to understand.
So okay. You're saying that his name is B'nai Eretz Yisrael, or really B'nai Yisrael?
Yeah, right, correct. We're always B'nai Yisrael. The only way to basically make it that we're not B'nai Eretz Yisrael in Gullus is if there's no Jews. But so long as Jews and our homeland is always Eretz Yisrael, and we're going to go back there, and just a question of we're in Gullus, then that's always our land. Eretz Yisrael always retains its status as our homeland. The only way to remove, that's what he's saying, he said, if you want to remove that the Jewish inhabitants from Eretz Yisrael, the only way is if there's no Jews. But God forbid, that's not going to, we have a haftacha that there's always going to be Jews. If there was no haftacha like that, then at some point you say, look, Jews are not here anymore. How do you know? Now you know you're going to come back. Who says you're going to continue to exist? At some point, you're in Gullus, it's over. But because we have haftacha, we know we're coming back. You don't say that. But it's based upon the haftacha. I mean, the haftacha has a halachic consequence, that Eretz Yisrael retains its kedusha forever as being our land. Yeah.
Go ahead, so what about the Rambam in the Mishnah Torah, where he says that?
So when the Rambam says, over here in the Mishnah Torah, he says, our cheshbon, okay, in the Mishnah Torah he says, cheshbon of Chutz La'aretz. So it means is that the ones who are Makadesh is Eretz Yisrael. The people in Eretz Yisrael and the Beis Din of Eretz Yisrael. That's conceptually what's going on. Okay, not the people of Chutz La'aretz. Chutz La'aretz, in a certain sense, is a Gilei Milsa. But the Auto Mekadesh is not Klal Yisrael in the diaspora. The Auto Mekadesh is the people in Eretz Yisrael through the Beis Din of Eretz Yisrael. That's who's really being Mekadesh every single month. But it doesn't literally mean those particular people. It means the institution of the Beis Din of Eretz Yisrael as representatives of the B'nai Eretz Yisrael. Those are the ones who have the ability to fix the calendar. But the people of Chutz La'aretz, they're conceptually are completely a cheshbon. The cheshbon of the B'nai Eretz Yisrael is actually what accomplishes the Kiddush. as it the cheshbon works in every month, the cheshbon, you know, is applies and it's automakadesh on that date of the month. The first of every month, it's makadesh. You know what I mean? It's like an automakadesh. The first of every single month, you makadesh that day as Rosh Chodesh. Okay, but that's the Bnei Eretz Yisrael. It really is going on. It's just you don't see people getting together, making a meal and doing it, but that's what's going on. But it's only Eretz Yisrael, the base of Eretz Yisrael. And Chutz Laretz, that's not what's going on. There's no automakadesh. It's simply Gilei Milsa, everything that we do. We're not, it's not set up for us to do it. Okay, fine. Then there's a different approach, and I think this other approach for the Rambam will equally work well for our sugya, is what Dov mentioned that Rebbe said on in the Shavua Shir in 89. So it's the idea that different. It's not saying the Adam Akadish idea. It's saying that it still exists today because the Chachmei Eretz Yisrael. Okay, the Chachmei Yisrael basically still exists. Okay, I was thinking about this, that the Rebbe's going to learn that there always are Chachmei Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael. I think you have to say that in order to work out Rebbe's pshat, right? Our pshat, you can kind of say you don't have to say that. Conceptually, Eretz Yisrael and the Beis Yisrael always exist as an institution, but I think Rebbe's trying to make it a little bit more concrete and say that it's when Sanhedrin is batel, then it shifts to this idea of the Chachmei Yisrael, right? And the idea is that you see the Rambam holding smicha, that you can reinstitute smicha with the Chachmei Yisrael, all agreeing. So apparently there's the idea of Elohim that exists in smuchim and real people with a direct smicha connection to Moshe Rabbeinu. And then it can, even when you lose that, then basically it doesn't go away, it just becomes dispersed throughout all the Chachmei Yisrael. But then you see it could reconvene, it could become concentrated again in a particular line of smicha, right? So it's really shifting forms from being concentrated to dispersed. And the Chachmei Yisrael is the way it exists nowadays, the way smicha exists is through Chachmei Yisrael. But I think Yaakov wanted to say a nice idea that the way Chachmei Yisrael work is different. It's a different form of Elohim, is that it only works when it's a collective action and it's unanimous and everybody agrees. So by Kiddush HaChodesh, the Cheshbon is what coordinates everybody. All the Chachmei Yisrael agree on the Cheshbon. They all agree these are the proper calculations and they all agree. And Mikdash at this time, they don't have to consciously say it every single week, but there is a unanimous consent to the Luach, to our calendar. And therefore there really is a Kiddush going on every week, every month, in Eretz Yisrael, by the Chachmei Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael, because they all agree to this Luach, all agree to the Cheshbon, and the Cheshbon is a mathematical calculation, unifies everybody, creates a consensus. Okay. Similarly, if everybody got together to institute Smicha and everybody agreed without any machlokas, you could institute Smicha, because again, that would be collective action requiring consensus. Of course, that's impossible. I shouldn't say impossible. That's not going to happen. Because that there's nothing to coordinate. There's a difference, okay? because there, everybody's, Rambam says everybody's mefuzar. And mefuzar, I think, means more than just mefuzar. There's being spread out creates a lot of machlokasim. And you need everybody to actually agree and really have consensus on somebody who's going to be a smuchim. The truth is, I mean, I don't know. Well, why couldn't that have happened? Why couldn't that have happened with, I don't know, you know, the Rambam, you know, I guess they don't. Moshe Feinstein, you know.
Yeah,
I was going to
say Moshe Feinstein.
I know, but you know what, probably. I know. Yeah, university, we say he's universally accepted. The Hasidim accepted him, did they? I don't know. Maybe they did. Yeah. Okay, fine. Maybe everybody did. I guess it's theoretically possible. It still hasn't happened, okay? To this day, it hasn't happened. So there, again, it's when there's consensus and when they act as a collective, then you really have the ability to reinstitute, to act as, you know, it's almost like they have the din of Elohim when they're acting collectively all as a united entity. But and the third example would be our sugya. You could say, you take Rebbe's idea and just say our sugya, that shlichusai kavdinen is all the Chachmei Yisrael are all united in saying that that the batei dinim and chutz laretz and even Eretz Yisrael have the ability to be done, niske adam, niske shor, right, things we'll see, things that are shchiach, things that are have chesh and kiss, they're all united in this idea, and it's a general will of the Chachmei Yisrael, and therefore it really has a halachic status of Elohim, and therefore they can be, Michelle, they can make you create a shlichas based upon that. So these are three good examples. But then you're really learning, it's like the Chachmei Yisrael of the present moment, who are the ones sending out the shlichas, Mikayesh the Chodesh, through their consensus, as opposed to what I was trying to say earlier, that it was more like the institution. There are no practical people on it. Yeah.
the song with the meir is in.
Okay, so Zez pointing out that Rebbe's approach, he's explaining the Rambam, I think, but it doesn't sound like the Meiri, because the Meiri is saying that it's the original Beis Din. Right, so that you could fit into our idea of the Adam Mekadesh. They set up the Adam Mekadesh, or you could say in the more class, the standard way of looking at it, not the Rambam's thing of just their Mekadesh all future months forever because they're Tofei set through Cheshvan. The Meiri says in our Sugya. Sure. Yes, yeah, so our explanation works better with the Meiri's Lashon. That's the first basin, because they set up that idea and they define the institution, and it continues automatically going forward. But you still need the original basin to set it up and to define, set up auto pay. You got to set up auto mekadesh or auto shlichus. You can set it up as a feature of the institution. Somebody's got to set that up. You're right. With Rebbe's thing, he's explaining the Rambam, but you're right. It's not as, doesn't fit into the idea that Lashon as much. Yes. Okay, so I just want to basically take a variation of the idea. Okay, I'm still going to be using, that's the point, the methodology point. I'm still going to be using this idea that it is coming from the institution of Beis Din. Okay, I just want to say it's not really shlichus in the technical sense of mishaleach and aminoi and shliach and shliach. Okay, it's not really shlichus. Okay, but it really is the Beis Din of Chutz La'aretz who's being done, as opposed to, see, if you're saying shliach, shlichus, you're really saying that the mishaleach is doing, it's attributable. When a shliach does an action, it's attributable to the mishaleach, right? It's like almost like he's the yad of the yad shliach, yad bailam, right? And it's really basically, the shliach thing is really saying, it's the Beis Din of Eretz Yisrael who's really doing it. And it's just their shluchim to carry out their judgment is the Beis Din of Chutz La'aretz. So I want to say is that no, that it's not what shichusai means. If you take it literally, it does mean that. But I say is that it doesn't mean that. Basically, I say that there's two dinim in smicha. Okay, so if you look in the Rambam in Sanhedrin in Perek Dalad Halacha Ches, I'm not sure if there's another place in the Rambam. It's through. Let's say Halacha Beis is even better. Okay, Halacha Beis says the kitzat he has smicha, right? Ledara. So what does smicha mean? Lo shiyismichu yedehem al rosh hazakim. It doesn't mean like literally yismichu, they put their hands on him. Like it sounds like Moshe did to Yeshua. Ela shekon lo rabbi, omer lo hariyat ha-samach, v'yesh lecha rashus ladan afil dina knasos. Okay. So basically you basically give him a title. It's a meaner, it's a position, and he's a samach, and he has the rashus to be done things. Okay. And then the Rambam says, and in Kari Elohim Ela Beis Din Shnis B'chol Be'eretz Yisrael B'vad. Okay, that's the Elohim thing. We saw that already. Then Brishonan, hey, Kol Mi Shenismach Samech Tamidav, right? Tell works intrinsically. Then they require the Nasi, that thing. But basically, then one Musmach can make another Nismach, right? And Zayin Yesh L'Samchon L'Smach Afil Me'ab Hamachas Dar Melach Samach Shloshim Elav Be'yom Echad. Okay. So you give a minoy, a limited one. So I say there's two dinim in smicha. One is where like you're really investing the person with a position and a becoming Elohim, becoming a dayan and an authority and a real musmach, and they're able to make other musmach. Okay, because they become transformed into a new gavra. There's a new gavra here. They're not just a regular person. They're an Elohim, they're musmachim, and they have that ability to transform somebody else into another musmach. Okay? But there's also a din of nesinas rishus, of giving permission. Okay, giving permission to for them to be done things. You see, those could be separated to some degree, because in Halacha Ches he says, so they have to be roi for everything, because if you're not roi for everything, you can't be cut, get smicha. Smicha implies a certain kind of a gavra. You got to be roi for everything to become that kind of a gavra. But even if you are the gavra who can get smicha, that doesn't mean you're the rishus to be done everything, right? Ketzad chacham mufla shiroi lahoros b'chol tarkulo. So you can do mammonis, but can't do sefer heter. or the opposite, and so on and so forth, right? Or then in halacha test, they can give you smicha for they can give you a shus for a limited period of time, right? So I say is that there's two elements. One is when they give smicha, they can limit the rishus. And what I want to say here is that they can give the rishus without the smicha. Okay, and that's what's going on. Shichusai kavdina mean they're just giving us the rishus to be done things that are shchiach and chesed and kis. Or Niski Adam Niski Shor. We really haven't. Probably should have finished the Gemara before we went off on this whole thing, but whatever. You guys saw it. They're basically giving you rishus to be done things that are shchiach and things that are chesron kes. But it doesn't make the Beis of Chutz La'aretz musmachem. Smicha is gone. The Beis Rishon can't make nunit musmachem. They don't really become Elohim in a true sense. It's just that the Elohim, which is based in Hagadol and are based in Eretz Yisrael, right? Who has smicha? Okay, or the way I'm looking at it, the institution, so I'm retaining that idea. Okay, but the Nesiyas Rishus comes from that institution. Okay, if you look at the Rashi in Gittin, right, where he says, Shuchusai Dibnei Yitzhel Kavdinan, Heim Nasner Lan Rishus. That's what Rashi says, it's the same idea. Heim Nasner Lan Rishus. He doesn't say it means a real Mino Shlichus. He doesn't say they become there, the Meshaleach, or their Shlucha. It's an esinas rishus. Okay, so that's what shichusai kavdina means. Is that the courts wield authority. They have authority. And that's Elohim. There's srara. There's authority that the courts have. The real authority only is Elohim. Rambam, like Rambam says, ein nikra Elohim, el beis din sheretz Yisrael. Right? Shenis mechub eretz Yisrael, bilvad. Right? Anashim chachamim ruy ladon, shabbat kos, el beis din sheretz Yisrael. Right. Okay. Fine. So those are the ones who have the real Elohim. Those are the ones who have real authority. There is no real. If they go to Chutz La'aretz, they still have that authority, right? But those are the ones who are really Elohim. But so you can't make a Beis Din of Chutz La'aretz Elohim. Okay. But Elohim is more than just a status of a gavra, and the ability to make other people also Elohim, to transfer that status of the courts. It's the idea that the there's a certain power. There's a power that results from a practical authority and srara of you could force people to accept the judgment. You could force somebody in dini mamonis to pay somebody else. You can enforce dini knossos. You can enforce the sevahatigas or somebody's things. You know what I mean? Like there's a power that comes from the courts, and that's why it's called Elohim. Elohim yavod varshtam. Because Elohim means a force, a power. That's what Elohim means, an authority. It's really an authority. So that authority, they can give you rishus, in a sense, they have the right to extend to, different ways to formulate it. I really want to say, let's see if it works out, is that they're not giving you the authority as much as they're once they give you rishus, there's no longer, you're no longer in violation of their authority when you're done. That's what I really want to say. I'm not sure it'll work out. I'm saying a little bit more, but I'm saying, let's try this out. You tell me what you guys think, okay? Is that to make you into an authority that they can't do. That's only in Eretz Yisrael, okay? That's Elohim. But the reason why I can't be done everything is because the Torah aggregates the entire authority of justice into the court system itself in Smuchim. And that's what removes it from everybody else, and it concentrates it in the body of the court, in the system of smuchim. In an analogous way, in a certain sense, like during the Shas Heter Bamos, everybody can be makriv karbanos wherever they want. But then the Torah during the Banyan the Beis Hamikdash, it says everything is only in the Mikdash, and now nobody else can be makriv bamos anywhere else. You know, it's like a similar idea. There's like a concentration, centralization of that's really the Mikdash. That's the Kohan and the Mikdash. It's like a different institution. Klal Yisrael has the courts. We have the Melech and we have the Mikdash. There's different institutions. And similar case with the Melech. You have Shoftim, Ishkal Yashabein Yasem, and you have different Shoftim and different things. Then all of a sudden you have the Melech and then nobody else has that authority. It's, you know, in a certain sense, the concentration of authority in one body, one person, one institution is what removes it from everybody else. So insofar as the reason why can't we be done any of these things in Parshas Mishpatim, right? because Elohim Ba'inan. I'm saying it's not like intrinsically that you need a positive dina of Elohim. It's thus just that once a Torah creates an Elohim and it imbues them with that authority of Elohim, that ipso facto asers anybody else from usurping their authority and implementing these dinim. But if they give you rishos, they give you rishos. You're allowed to. They're mochel. They're allowing you to do it. They're saying you're not taking away from our authority. We let you do this stuff. You're not an Elohim. You don't really need an Elohim in a positive sense. But rather what you need is it's that the fact that they're Elohim is what prevents you from being able to do it, because they say, the courts say, we're the only ones who have this power and this authority to compel. We don't want everybody just doing their own thing. You have to come to the courts. But if they give you permission to do it, then you don't have a problem. Yeah, go ahead, Joe.
So just how does that drive with the pasuk? Because the pasuk clearly implies that they need to be Elohim themselves.
Right. Well, the pasuk says Elohim in throughout the parsha, because what the Torah is doing is it's centralizing, concentrating the ability to do all these things to the courts. And that's what removes it from everybody else, is the fact that there are these Elohim who, and they're the only ones who can do it. But it's just giving them the authority. If they say you can do it, if they're all mochel, they all let you do it, then there's no problem with you doing it. That's the key, that's the main difference between your approach, what you guys had last week, and what I'm saying now. Is, and you guys are saying it in a much more straightforward way, okay? It really is much more straightforward. But you're saying Elohim Bein, that means you really need the positive din of Elohim, okay? How are these guys Elohim based on Chutz La'aretz? They're not Elohim. And in fact, it's impossible to make them Elohim because you can't make somebody Chutz La'aretz, can't get them smicha. So it must be Shichu Sayakov Din, and is that really the Elohim is the Bein of Eretz Yisrael? And these guys are just, they're shluchim. So who's doing this din? The Bnei Yisrael, who are Elohim, are doing the din, and you're just the shliach carrying it out, okay? And then you could say you really have Elohim doing this mishpat, because that's the mishaleach, that's the one who's really doing it, okay? Yes.
So this would seem to imply that they could appoint anybody as the shliach.
No, not necessarily. You have to, the person has to be roy to be able to do it. You know, like the Ram says, if you give tragas micha, somebody who doesn't, it's a balmo, makdish balmo nizbeach. I mean, you could say that's only for the technical smicha.
Right, or we're not giving smicha.
I understand. But still, you could say you can't just give rishos to any idiot. You know?
I think
he felt the same. Right, it's true. The Ram does in Halacha Tezvav, Ta'al Tezvav, says, Mishena roi lada, Mishena yodea, Mishena hagun, Rech avarish galusa, Vinasan rishos. You're right, it doesn't even talk about smicha there. And it's the Resh Kalusa. Resh Kalusa, I don't even think that's smicha, right? It's chutzlars. So just Rishus, you can't give, right? Okay, good. So the Nesinus Rishus requires the person to be right. It just doesn't work. But the Nesinus Rishus, okay, again, so that's the difference between what the way approached last week that you guys were saying and what I'm trying to say now is that you guys are saying that you need Elohim and therefore you do have Elohim. It's the Bnei Eretz Yisrael. Who are the Elohim, the Bezin Eretz Yisrael is Elohim, you're just the Bezin Chutz La'aretz is Shluchim. And you really have the positive din Elohim, and that's what it sounds like, simple pshat. What I'm saying is that Elohim is not, in a sense, a positive requirement, as much as since the Torah does create Elohim, that ipso facto takes away the Rishus from anybody else to do it. But Bezin has the ability to give that Rishus back, because it's still their authority, but that doesn't make you into an Elohim. And it's just that when they give you Rishus, now if you're done, you're not violating their rishus. Okay, you're not in violation of their authority. There's no intrinsic reason why you couldn't do it. It's just that you don't have that authority, but if they give it to you, they give it to you. But that doesn't make you into an Elohim. That doesn't give you smicha. It doesn't mean you can make somebody else a musmach. And you can't give somebody else. You couldn't give, for example, that authority to somebody else. They gave you the authority to do it. They didn't give you authority to do other things. So there's a big difference between the positive shem smicha and Elohim versus the renesinus rishus. So that's the main difference between the two different approaches. But they both require this idea, that stepping stone idea, that there is this institution of Beis Din Elohim that exists bizman hazeh, even though there's no members on the court who are the ones who give this either a shus, like I'm saying, or actually a shlichus of Elohim, like you guys were saying. Yeah, so Yaakov's bringing up that you see in a Perek Dal Halacha Yud Gimel, Ram has the Resh Galusa, right? Resh Galusa Yibol Makom Melachim Momda, right? And it's a real institution. He has Xeris Kosef, right? That they have a din of Srara coming from the Malchus. And he's saying that you see you can have concurrently, you don't say that it impedes on the power of Sanhedrin if the fact that there's the Reish Galusa. But really you could ask the question just from Bismana David HaMelech, right? You have the Sanhedrin and you have David HaMelech, and you also have the Kohen Gadol, right? So the answer is that Shlosh Tiksarim Nechli Rishal, is that there are really three institutions of Srara and Klal Yisrael. It's the Ksarim, the crown. The crown's our power and authority. So there's the Malchus, the Beis David. You have the Mikdash, which is the Keser of Kahuna, which is given to Aaron, that sits as the Keser Kahuna. And you have the Keser Torah, which is Sanhedrin. The Keser Torah, the Srara that comes from Sanhedrin, and ultimately the Chachma Yisrael, right? The Keser Torah. Keser means something a little more also. But it's really, Keser really means the authority that comes from Chachma, from the Chachma, the Torah. Right, Bimam Lachem Yimlochu, Rambam quotes, right, Pasuk Mishnah, that the Chachma has a din of in Klal or a special nation, that the Chachma Yisrael, as embodied in Sanhedrin, most particularly have Srara. So the answer is that there basically the idea of separation of powers is something that the founding fathers of America took from the Torah. And then I don't think it's really a secret. They just did something different, where they got rid of the separated religion entirely, separated religion and state. And then they took the Sanhedrin, which is, and they split it into two to get three powers again, right? In Torah, the legislative body and the judicial is one. Sanhedrin legislates laws and also judges them. And in America, you split off the Supreme Court from Congress. And then the executive, the Melech, was the president. But the idea of separation of powers is something the Torah did also. So it's the Melech is an institution of Mishpat, but it's a different type of Mishpat. It's the Mishpat HaMelech. He has the ability to kill based upon Eid Echad or based upon an Isha. Aram brings it down, it's Paragdal and Havas Malachim. So the Melech is the institution of Mishpat. Melech of Mishpat Yamod Aretz. It's a form of Mishpat. Also Milchama. Basically, it's Milchama and Mishpat is what the king does in Klal Yisrael. And therefore, it coexists, it complements the Mishpat of Sanhedrin. They're really different types of Mishpat. The Mishpat of Melech is much less rigorous. But it serves an important function of, when Beis Din can't take care of something, the king will. So the Reish Galusa fits in under that framework. Okay, so it's, I don't think the Melech has a din of Elohim. I don't think so. Elohim is really Smuchim. That's the authority of the courts, like an official court system. But the Melech is like a different branch of government in Judaism that has authority of Malchus. But his authority is not absolute. Maybe the Kohen Gadol does have to mechabit him, but it doesn't mean that there aren't separate institutions, separate ksarim, separate institutions of srara of authority that complement each other. And the Reish Galusa is one, and the Beis Din is another. Yeah.
It sounds like both of them do have srara. They can both.
Yes, they do both. They both do have srara, and they both have the ability to use that. As I think, there's two forms of mishpat. And they both have that ability to use it in order to accomplish Mishpat. But it doesn't mean that they're the same. They're not the same institutions. The Melech and the Sanhedrin are different institutions. And the Reish Galusa is he's the modern, he's the new version of the Malchus when the Melech went away. And the Beis Din and whatever Beis Din is the continuation of Sanhedrin. You see, there are these different branches.
Okay, they can't produce identical results, though.
I mean, there's a reason why you have each one. You know, there's a lot of conflict between them in practice. There's conflict in practically. Like we're not Don Beis Din, or we're not Don the Melech, because it leads to problems. You know,
right.
So you have to be careful once you have these separations. That they're, you don't have these conflict, but I'm saying it's the Melech is not taking away from their. What we take away from Elohim is if other people decide to start judging Mishpat or LP, like the way Parshas Mishpatim, without their permission, that would take away from their authority. But the Melech, he's like a different institution of authority, that doesn't take away from them. He's not the court system. He's the Melech, the monarchy. It's a different system of power.
It sounds like when he gives permission to judge, it's the same thing as what happened at the basically.
Right. So when it says that the melech has the right to give somebody reshus, that person is getting their authority from the institution of the melech. So that person is underwriting under his umbrella and his authority, and that person is different from a judge appointed by Beis Din. Now, there might be practically overlap in what they're able to do, but conceptually, they're coming from two different umbrellas, two different systems of Sarara of authority, and the melech is an Elohim and can't make somebody a musmach. And Zez pointing out is that you can, this hakira of what is Elohim ba'inan v'leka in our Gemara, in Shlichusai Kavdinan, right? Is Elohim a positive requirement, or is it simply a removal of reshus from anybody who's not Elohim and you can get it back? That hakira it works with both sides of the other hakira that we had before, is how exactly is by Kiddush HaChodesh. How do you view the reality that Rambam in Sefer Mitzvos, how do you view the reality of Beis Din, how's Beis Din still real today? Is it because the institution abstract is there even though there's no members? Or do you say it's the Chachmei Yisrael that still exists, that the institution of Beis Din becomes spread out and dispersed throughout all the Chachmei Yisrael nowadays? So that those two chakiras are independent of each other. So meaning this idea that we're saying now, that Elohim is really just a removal of Rishos from everybody else. You don't really require them in a positive sense. And the Sinus Rishos is sufficient, even though they're not really Musmachim, they're not Elohim, the Beis Din Chutzlarts. You could say that's coming from not the institution of the Sanhedrin or the Beis Din. You could say that's coming from the Chachmei Yisrael. So the Chachmei Yisrael, if they want to act in a particular case to give a knas to somebody or whatever, to give a deal with Chesron Kis, this case Aldam, this case Shor, so they'd have to, in theory, if they wanted to act as Chachmei Yisrael, as Elohim, they'd have to all get together and agree and on the case, okay, but that's practically not going to happen. That's not a practical method of being done cases. So rather, what they do is, all the Chachmei Yisrael agree to give Rishos to Bate Dinim who are qualified, and Chutz Lars, I guess even Eretz Yisrael, you'd say, that these Bati Dinim who are qualified and Roy, that they can be done based upon how they see fit to judge the case. So the consensus of the Chachmei Yisrael is in the Nesinas Rishos, the Shechusai Kavdinan. But once you have that Rishos, then a particular basin is able to act under the umbrella of the authority of the Chachmei Yisrael who gave them Rishos. Right? So you can learn the Shechusai Kavdinan in one of two ways. Either it's the institution of Beis Din, which still exists in abstract, or it's the Chachmei Yisrael who are giving that Rishus. These two Hakiras are independent of each other. You can learn either way in either one, and they work fine together. Okay, so Zev asks if there's an afkamin between the two ways of learning Elohim. That's a positive thing, and therefore it's working through real Shlichus, or Elohim just means the authority is concentrated on them, and it's just Nesinas Rishus. So I would say that, first of all, you don't really need a nafkamina. It's not a machlokas. It's just there's two conceptual ways of viewing it. You know, so you want to, when you're learning a Gemara, you want to find out some way of making sense of the whole thing. And sometimes you have just two different ways to make sense of it. So like when you have a machlokas of the Gemara, you kind of want to understand, well, what's the nafkamina? My benai, what are they arguing about? But over here, like our job is to try and understand the Gemara. And just because we have two ways that make sense, you don't say what's an afkamina. If they both work. You know what I mean? Like, how are you supposed to choose one? I mean, it's not arguing, just two alternative possibilities. But just an interesting question anyway is, would there be machlokas? I would say possibly is, and I don't think it's a practical afkamina, you know. But if you say the real shlichus method, I would think it'd be possible that they could give shlichus to somebody and that person could make another musmach. Because they're operating as musmachim, as a shluchim of musmachim. So I don't see why intrinsically you can't have smicha being done aide shliach, unless that's impossible, unless you can't do smicha aide shliach. Like, you know, you need mitzvah shibagufa or something. But assuming you could do like a smicha through a shliach, so then you could, this whole thing could still work. You could do set up a shlichas of a smicha. They didn't do that. In the bottom line, they did their shlichas was just in the framework of allowing you to be done, not to make other musmachim. Well, like conceptually, the mechanism of Shlichusai Kavdinan, I think, would allow for that. But the way I'm saying it is, no, it's impossible. They're not making you know him. They're not giving you the authority. They're just not even the parsha of what they were doing. They're just Sinas Rishus. They're where they're removing the restriction on your ability to be Don, Parshas Mishpatim, but the Torah aggregated the power to them, and they're just being mochel, they're giving you rishus to do it also. But there's like no way that mechanism is going to allow you to make musmachim, because you're not Elohim, you're not operating as their shliach. You just, there's no, they give you rishus to do something, that doesn't make you into anything special. But again, I don't think there's a practical knock between those. But conceptually, that might be a difference.
Right.
The truth is, once you say this idea of it's not really shluchim, right, it's true. I remember why I didn't need it. I got so carried away with the old institution thing. Right. You mean, you're right. You don't really need this idea. It's an important point.
Why is it?
I mean, if the way you guys are saying that's really shlichos and it's really Elohim, and then you, where's your Elohim? Who is the Beis Din nowadays? Then you have to say it's the institution or the Chacham Yisrael, something like that. But if it's just Nesinus Rishus, then it's not shlichos. There's no Mishaleach. The problem, the Mishaleach is dead. Where is your coming from? It's just Nesinus Rishus, so the original Beis Din, gave Rishus, the Doros, for anybody. They had the ability to do it. And they said, the Doros, any Beis Din of Chutz La'aretz who wants to do it, they can do it. Once they saw, in theory, they could have said it made it up temporarily. They gave it for a permanent. Like it's not, once you're outside of the technical framework of shlichus, you don't have that problem with the mishleach as death. You say Beis Din at that time had that concentration of power, and they're the ones who gave rishus to the doros for Beis Din Chutz La'aretz, who's right to be done. You don't have to make recourse to the whole idea of the Chacham Yisrael or the idea of the institution of Beis Din that's alive nowadays. It's just not necessary. If you say Elohim is a positive requirement and it really works through shlichas, then you have to say one of those two sorrows. If you say this idea of it's an sinus rishus, then I don't see why that can't go across time. Why can't you give rishus to this Beis Din in forever to do it? Okay, so Zev says, no, we really need it again. We need it again. Because the whole svara of the Isser, that you don't have the authority on the rishus to do these things, the whole point is it's not intrinsic. The whole point is that through concentrating the power in Elohim, in the Beis Din of Eretz Yisrael, in the Mismachim, that's what removes it from everybody else. And that's why you need the Rishus. But if you're going to tell me that nowadays there's Manazeh, Sanhedrin's Batlas Michas, but there's no more Elohim, then Memele, it should go back to Hatter Bamos. It should be like, there should be no Isser. That's like if Yerushalayim was gone and there was no, wasn't the Makom of Ashrash Chino forever, then Hatter Bamos comes back. Because what creates the Isser Bamos is that this is the Makom Asher Yivchar La'olam. Now, if you really can tell me Sanhedrin of Eretz Yisrael, Nishkas of Gaza, that's gone. All the institutions of Elohim were completely gone. They should go back to the Heter Rishona. That really should be motive for everybody to be done. All these things, because what created the Issa was the Elohim. Right? So therefore, you must say that you still have Elohim as Manazet. Where's Elohim as Manazet? Either the Chachmei Yisrael, or you say the institution of Sanhedrin is still there, and that creates the Issa. It's like you still, the Makom HaShorash, the Kedusha Shechina is still there, even though you don't have the Mikdash. Right, this is the Kedusha Shechina is there. It's like, so the Sanhedrin is still there, even though you don't have the members. Same kind of idea. And that's what creates the Isser Bamos, and that's what creates the Isser of you being done without the Rishus. So you need it again. Very good. Oh, beautiful. Go ahead, yeah.